The House will come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Barker, Barnhart, Berger, Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, excused, Shields.
The flag suit will be led by Representative Nancy Nathanson.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The chair requests unanimous consent that former Representative Lane Shetterly be granted privileges of the House and floor. He will be performing in opening ceremonies. We do need to ask for this because he is a registered lobbyist now. Is there objection? Seeing none, so ordered. The opening ceremony will be presented by former Speaker Pro Tem Lane Shetterly and by Jazz Adams, who is the husband of the current Speaker Pro Tem, and they will be performing Forêt's Pavane on flute and piano.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And courtesies. The honorary pages today are Gretchen Rice. Oh, I'm sorry. Courtesies. Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. I get to introduce honorary page today, Ashley Phillips. Although she is in Representative Scott's district in Oregon City, I have the privilege of introducing her because she's my cousin. Ashley is a sixth grader in Mount Pleasant Elementary, where she's a straight A student. She's on the yearbook committee and enjoys square dancing. I hear she's a fantastic soccer player, and I also learned a secret talent, her grandmother told me. She's able to find things that are lost. So there's your girl. I could sure use her at my house. And finally, Ashley wants to be a teacher or a veterinarian when she grows up. And over on the side gallery here, her mother, my cousin Tiana Phillips, is up there. There she is. Please give her a welcome. Welcome to both of you to the Capitol.
Representative Chris Edwards.
Madam Speaker, colleagues, I'd like to introduce two of my constituents. First, Carolyn Conklin of Eugene. She is the daughter of Joseph and Annette Conklin. She's 12 in the eighth grade at Kelly Middle School, where she enjoys volleyball, track, and swimming, and she is the yearbook editor. And when she grows up, she'd like to be a pediatrician. Thank you for joining us today, Carolyn. And next is Teal Andreessen. Teal is the daughter of Carrie Andreessen. She's 13 in the 8th grade at Kelly Middle School. She enjoys ballet, is a harpist, and a student mediator, and has aspirations of becoming either an orthodontist or a teacher. So thank you both for joining us.
Further courtesies, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to introduce several honorary pages serving the House today. As I announce your name, please stand. Nick Honesey attends Mount Pleasant Elementary in Oregon City. He's proud to be involved in his school's safety patrol and is a very good student. Ashley Phillips also attends Mount Pleasant Elementary in Oregon City, is a member of the yearbook staff. She also enjoys writing, soccer, and square dancing. Gretchen Rice also attends Mount Pleasant. Her hobbies are volleyball, horses, and reading. Wade Yashimura from Mount Pleasant Elementary is planning to be a dentist, but until then, he is a member of the band and also participates in football and the yearbook. Adam Stephenson attends North Clackamas Christian School in Beaver Creek. He's interested in politics and has also attended the Dorchester Conference this year. April Stephenson also attends North Clackamas Christian and enjoys singing, basketball, and volleyball. Alicia Yoder is a student at Canby High School, has a career goal of being a health care provider. She is involved in 4-H with her sheep, dairy, and photography and food prep. The last one is Larsa Yoder. She is attends Canby High School. She is also interested in 4-H, sheep, and food preparation, enjoys and participates in soccer and track. Her field of choice for her future is the field of law. I want to thank all of you and colleagues. Please help me in joining in welcoming and having these folks here today.
Further courtesies, Representative Patty Smith.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I really enjoyed the opening ceremony. I want to introduce to you Scott Lazenby and Marcus Hathcock. Would you stand up from Sandy? I want to extend courtesies of the House to them today. They're great constituents and great friends and great supporters. And thank you very much.
Further courtesies, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I have some students here from Blue Mountain Community College today in the galleries, I think. Here we are. Welcome. I hope you have a good day here. And, you know, just anytime you see any of these folks that are down here and you have a question, ask them. They're really great people, and they'll answer all your questions for you. And would also, Madam Speaker, if I may, I would like to extend courtesies. I'd like the body to extend courtesies to Anil Brown, who is the owner of NWB Sales, which sells and customizes and fits diesel trucks. Neil has a passion for solving problems using truck bodies, chassis, and engines, and his imagination to custom design trucks for specific jobs. But his ability to meet the demand in the area is being in the Pendleton area is being stifled by his inability to hire and train mechanics, welders, and painters to meet his standards. NWB Sales always has unfilled positions for employees. He can find employees with appropriate skills who were trained at Blue Mountain Community College. But unfortunately, Blue Mountain has, due to the budget cuts, had to reduce their offerings in diesel mechanics and heavy equipment programs some years ago. And they reopened the diesel program, it is on a temporary basis. It was reopened basically with grant money, and that grant money is scheduled to run out. Neil Brown wants BMCC to be able to sustain their heavy equipment and diesel mechanic program so that his business and other businesses like his can expand and serve customers across the region. Please join me in welcoming Neil to the Capitol here today.
Further courtesies, and thank you for the enthusiastic response to all of our guests, but applause is not in order under the House rules. Further courtesies, Representative McPherson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It's my honor to introduce a couple of my honorary pages for today. First, Drew Porter. Drew, stand up. Drew is the son of Kim and Duncan Porter. He's a seventh grader at Riverdale Grade School. His activities include concert band and the advanced jazz band, and his goal is to be an aerospace engineer. Please extend the courtesies of the House to Drew. And then Ian Washburn. Ian is the son of Lori Washburn. He's an eighth grader at Riverdale Grade School. He's involved in sports, music, drama, Boy Scouts, and student council, and he aspires to be a lawyer. So give real credit to Ian, because we, of course, need more lawyers around here, don't we? Thank you very much.
Further courtesies? The chair would like to extend courtesies. Today is City Hall Day at the Capitol, and we have with us over 80 city officials from across Oregon who have joined us today. If they would please stand, city officials who are here today, so that we can welcome them as our partners in local government. It's great to have you in the Capitol today, so welcome to all of our city officials. And today is Representative Tom Butler's birthday. So, Representative, we wish you a happy birthday. And applause is still not in order. Even for that, further courtesies, messages from the governor, messages from the Senate.
Madam Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate to pass Senate Bills 722, 746, 751, 894, 331, 336, 728, House Bills 5014, 5040, 2086, 2088, adopted SCR 13, and passed the following House bills as amended by the Senate, House Bill 2073 and HJM 6.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
SCR 13, in memoriam, Senator George Ivers, 1914 to 2005.
Message read first time is passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. It's Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Special orders of business. The chair requests unanimous consent that consideration of HCR 6 be made a special order of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on Friday, May 25, 2007 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the resolution.
HCR 12, in memoriam, Logan Layton Will, 1984 to 2006.
The question now arises upon final reading and adoption of HCR 12. Representative Galizio. And members, could you please be seated for this item of business as we're waiting for Representative Galizio?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Sorry about that. We're doing HCR 12.
Yes, Representative Galizio. Go ahead.
Logan Will was intelligent, analytical, articulate. He was a political junkie with exceptional knowledge of public policy issues, and he was a true gentleman. And after working with Logan for a year, I can think of no better way to describe him than as a true gentleman, a real class act. I looked up the word will in the dictionary, and I quote from Webster's, "Energy of intention, the power of affecting one's intentions, control exercised by deliberate purpose over impulse," unquote. Colleagues, Charles Dickens couldn't have come up with a more apropos surname for a young man who had such energy of intention, someone of great willpower, someone who is so extraordinarily focused, grounded, and productive. During the 2005 legislative session, Logan wrote floor speeches, he researched legislation, he organized town halls, he did constituent outreach. He maintained the website, and mind you, this was all before 9 a.m. in the morning. In fact, he did everything short of push the buttons on the House floor. I was really honored to have someone of Logan's stature to work with and to help me represent House District 35. And I was thrilled when he expressed to me that he wanted to help out on my reelection campaign. Friday, November 17, 2006 was the last time that I had the good fortune to spend time with Logan. He came to my office at Portland Community College, and he came to discuss his plans for the coming year. We came to an agreement that he was going to work part-time in a paid staff position for us, for me in the 2011 legislative session. In true Logan form, and those of the people here who know him would understand this, he made sure to let me know that he was available during the entire winter break in case I needed help moving into the office or with anything. Logan Will was really, he was a true gentleman, a class act. And although a champion debater and someone recognized with awards for his verbal acumen, to me, Logan was more of a man of action and of deeds. In an age of shameless self-promotion and in a building, quite frankly, where egos are rarely held in check, Logan remained true to his namesake, energy of intention, deliberate purpose over impulse. Logan Will was a true gentleman, a class act, and he will always be one of my heroes.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I stand this morning to tell you about my friend, Logan Will. I'm happy that his parents, Reva and Dennis, and his grandmother, Ellen, and many of his friends and loved ones and family are here today. I think that it is a fitting witness to exactly how far their son's reach extended to see that every elected official in this room has co-sponsored this bill commemorating the life of their son. College for many young males is the struggle to somehow find time between the pursuit of the opposite sex and video games just to attend class. Not Logan. He gave endlessly of himself and his time for school. He led student groups. He was a champion debater. He worked in the Capitol. He volunteered for causes he cared about. He was there for his friends. And he did all this because he believed we can do more for each other. We are all better off today because of his life. Everything that Logan applied himself to, he mastered. Every word that he spoke was a thoroughly vetted and well thought out idea. I wish I had that same trade. It quickly became apparent when talking with him that you better have your facts straight, because if you didn't, he was sure to let you know politely but firmly what the actual answer or information was. He did not shy away from discussing any topic. And now that I'm in session, I find myself missing him even more when there is so much to discuss. And his counsel was always wise beyond his years. As a two-term president of the College Willamette Democrats, he was no stranger to politics. He and his classmates volunteered on my campaign. They knocked on doors. They made phone calls. They did anything else we asked of them. Logan was always the first person we thought of when a job came up that was beyond the capabilities of our normal volunteer. He was someone struck with an ambition to search for the truth. He was a constant student of life, using every form of learning that he could. His goal was simple, to find clarity in a world of complexity. He was a young man who dared to want more from us, to believe that we're not only capable of what we're doing now, but that we have not yet begun to tap into our full potential for greatness. He thought that we should not live by the hour or day, but that the measure of a person be the legacy they leave this world. I am confident in saying that he represents the best in us, and his dream was of the best to come. I am very grateful today that we are doing something to pay tribute to one of Oregon's fallen, as you heard, one of our own fallen. Time has done so little to soften the hurt many of us feel. And Logan would have appreciated our sadness, certainly, but he would have wanted us to move forward. He would have wanted us to press ahead and finish the work he started. It is my hope that we in this chamber are up to that challenge. I hope at the end of the day, our friends, our constituents, our family know that we all share in Logan's dream of a better tomorrow. To close, I would like to quote John Atkins, who is a legislative aide here this session as well. He was Logan's friend, his debating partner. And at Logan's memorial over at Willamette, he had these words to say, and there was no way I could think of a better way to express it. No one person in this room could by greater effort make up for the loss we have suffered. But if we allow this pain to remind us that we can do better, do more, give more, be more humble, if we remember to say the things we mean to each other, do the good we mean to do for each other, then we will have given his life and his death the only meaning we are able to. The good we do to live up to him can be his legacy. Thank you, colleagues, for helping honor the life of a remarkable young man, Logan Layden Will.
Further discussion, Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the memorial.
To the resolution.
Excuse me. Logan's mother, Reva, was a neighbor of my wife, Colleen, and they went all through grade school and high school together. Logan's grandfather and grandmother, Wilbur and Ellen Moore, have been family friends for over 40 years. Logan, I believe, was the first grandchild, and he spent a lot of time on his grandparents' ranch near ours at Ophir. He always seemed to be happy. He was indeed smart. We all recognize that. And he, as you've heard already, he was a great achiever in everything that he went after. And anything he put his mind to, he seemed to be able to get there. In fact, he was a very outstanding young man, and his parents and grandparents should be exceptionally proud of him. All of Oregon, in fact, has indeed suffered a loss when we lost Logan. Thank you.
Further discussion? Those who are of the opinion that... I'm sorry, Representative Galizio, do you wish to close?
I do, briefly. Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. I was just thinking that Logan would be smirking the fact that I came in late. I'm carrying the bill. I mean, he would have loved that. Actually, it probably wouldn't have happened had he been here. So, anyway, I colleagues, first of all, I also wanted to thank all of you for signing the resolution. So, I appreciate that. I just would like to read a brief excerpt from the resolution, if I may. Whereas during his short life, Logan Layton Will passionately served his community in the state of Oregon, volunteering much of his spare time to area campaigns and to causes that he believed served his fellow Oregonians. Be it resolved by the Legislative Assembly of the State of Oregon that we, the members of the 74th Legislative Assembly, extend our deepest sympathies to the family of Logan Layton Will, his friends, the students at Willamette University, and those persons whose lives he affected. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the resolution should be adopted will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kremel, how do you vote? Votes aye. And we are very honored to have with us in the gallery today members of Logan's family, and I'd like to ask them to please stand. Logan's parents, Dennis and Reba, are here with us, as well as his grandmother, Ellen Moore. Logan was a truly remarkable young man, and we regarded him and still do as a cherished member of our family. We're very, very grateful for the time that we had with him and that you shared him with us. Thank you very much for being here today. House Concurrent Resolution 12, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. Representative Kremel, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Request to return to courtesies.
Representative Kremel requests unanimous consent to return to the order of courtesies. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Madam.
Representative Kremel.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and colleagues. I just want to introduce a constituent of mine who is in the Capitol for the day on the side aisle here to my left, John George. He is from the Gaston area. I don't necessarily get a lot of visitors from the Gaston area, so I'm very pleased to have him here with us today. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Welcome to the Capitol. Further courtesies? Propositions and motions. Chair requests unanimous consent that consideration of House Bill 2201 be made a special order of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on Thursday, April 26, 2007 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair requests unanimous consent that consideration of House Bill 3328 be made a special order of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on the Monday, April 30th, 2007 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. First reading of House Bills.
House Bill 3551, related public programs for housing providing for revenue raising, and requests approval by 3/5 majority.
Bill read the first time is passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2036 related to group registration plates. House Bill 2853 related to first possession. House Bill 2908 related to uninsured motorist coverage. House Bill 3096 related to licensure of dentistry. House Bill 3534 related to Hatchery Research Center at Fall Creek.
Bills read second time or passed to third reading. Consent calendar. The clerk will read the bill and a short summary.
House Bill 3380 relating to commercial motor vehicles. Removes certain vehicles from definition of commercial motor vehicle.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 3380. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Witt, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Boquist, how do you vote? Off the floor. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Gilman, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Flores, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 3380, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill and a short summary.
Senate Bill 204 relating to service of process on farm worker camp operator permits alternative methods of service of process, including service on Commissioner of Bureau of Labor and Industries.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 204. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed no. The clerk will open the voting system. All members have voted. Senate Bill 204, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2937 relating to hepatitis C.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2937. Representative Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Bill 2937 comes for your House Committee on Veterans, where it passed unanimously. Its intent is to provide veterans health care providers with veterans and health care providers with educational materials on the diet, on the treatment prevention of hepatitis C. For those of you who aren't aware, hepatitis C is a liver caused is disease of the liver caused by contact with the virus. It's primarily spread through infected blood. About 1.8% of the U.S. population is infected with this virus, according to the CDC. On average, 10% of veterans tested in the Veterans Health Administration have this, so there's a 10 times more likely that veterans would have it. In Vietnam, veterans are considered to be at a greater risk, and in fact, the statistics show that upwards of 64% of Vietnam veterans are infected with hepatitis C. This particular bill simply formalizes some existing programs inside the Veterans Department to ensure that our veterans have information on this particular virus and are able to take preventive action if necessary. Good bill should pass.
Further discussion? Representative Boquist, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, ma'am.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Klim, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Nolan? Votes aye. Representative Merkley, how do you vote? Representative Merkley votes aye. Representative Maurer, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 2937, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Tomei, for what purpose do you rise?
To ask if we can return to courtesies, please, Madam Chair, Madam Speaker.
Representative Tomei requests unanimous consent that we return to the order of courtesies. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think earlier you gave courtesies for the people from the League of Oregon Cities who are in the building today. I'd like to call attention to two of the Portland commissioners who are here, Eric Stinn and Sam Adams, and my city commissioner, Carlotta Collette from Milwaukee, and also Mayor Tom Potter from Portland will be in the building this afternoon. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
How you doing? Further courtesies? Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 3291, relating to annexation of districts by cities.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3291. Representative Klim.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This bill comes to you from your Committee on Ag and Natural Resources unanimously. The bill removes water control districts from the list of districts automatically extinguished when the entire area of a district is incorporated or annexed. Typically, when special district territories are annexed or incorporated, the annexing or incorporating entity already provides the services, so there's no need for two service providers, hence they extinguish the service area. In the case of water control districts, the canals, ditches, and other associated waterworks are not already provided for by the annexing entity, and the need for the district continues. In some cases, like flood control, the services are almost taken for granted by the communities. This bill would make it clear that services provided by water control districts would continue to be provided and that the water control district would not be automatically extinguished. Thank you.
Further discussion? Further discussion, Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd just like to thank the representative for carrying this over so I could clarify it with a new city that I have. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Klim, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Richardson, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative David Edwards, you are in the queue. For what purpose do you rise?
Madam Speaker, I'd like to return to the order of courtesies.
Representative, I'll recognize you as soon as we're completed on this bill. House Bill 3291, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative David Edwards requests unanimous consent that we return to the order of courtesies. Is there objection? Seeing none, Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to direct your attention to the back gallery. I'd like to recognize my mayor of the city of Hillsborough, Tom Hughes, and City Councilor Aaron Carlson. Welcome to the Capitol.
Further courtesies? Representative Flores.
Thank you. Since we're at it, Madam Speaker, I would like to introduce my mayor of Estacada, Bob Austin, and also this year's chair of the League of Oregon Cities, and D. Westcott might also be here, who is mayor of the second newest city in the state of Oregon, Damascus.
further courtesies, and we welcome all the mayors that are with us today once again. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 3484, relating to life insurance and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3484. Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 3484 comes to you from the Committee on Consumer Protection, where it passed unanimously. This bill was jointly requested by the American Council for Life Insurance Insurers and the Oregon Insurance Division, and it makes a few good changes to Oregon insurance law. Currently, the Department of Consumer and Business Services assesses insurers based on their premium volume to administer the insurance code. It's a fraction. It's less than 0.1% of premiums. And for life and annuity companies, currently they're only assessed on life policies. House Bill 3484 deletes the prohibition against assessing the annuity premiums by changing the formula, which makes sense because now annuities make up about 65% of the total life and annuity premiums. I want to clarify that the American Council on Life Insurers does not object to this new formula. DCBS has assured them that the change is not designed to increase revenue, but to more fairly allocate the cost of regulation among affected insurers. And that is from the American Council of Life Insurers. The second part of this bill is going to help small businesses. And yesterday was Small Business Day, and we didn't get to this bill yesterday. But what the second part of this bill will do, as explained again by the American Council of Life Insurers, Section 2 of House Bill 3484 will benefit a wide array of small businesses and nonprofit organizations by modernizing Oregon's group insurance law. The bill will reduce the minimum group size from 10 to 2 for purposes of obtaining group insurance coverage. This change will make lower group employee benefit premiums available to small businesses without the need for the businesses to join a larger trade association plan. In addition, the section allows small businesses to offer voluntary supplemental insurance plans such as group life, disability income, and long-term care insurance. Both small employers and their employees appreciate the flexibility of having these optional coverages available at favorable rates. So, colleagues, this is a win-win situation. It's going to help small businesses with their group insurance rates by lowering the number. There was no opposition in committee, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Bonamici, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Madam Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gelster, how do you vote? Excuse for business of the House. Representative Morgan votes aye. Representative Jensen votes aye. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Representative Burley votes aye. All members have voted. House Bill 3484, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2090, relating to information and documents filed with the Secretary of State and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2090A. Representative Chris Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I bring you House Bill 2090 from your Committee on Government Accountability and Information Technology. And I'll first give you a little background about the bill. Currently in Oregon, all corporations, both domestic and foreign corporations authorized to transact business in Oregon, are required to file documents on an annual basis with the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State Corporations Division maintains records of businesses, corporations, limited liability companies, limited liability partnerships, limited partnerships, nonprofit corporations, and business trusts. The purpose of this registration is to ensure disclosure on the public record of real and true names of those persons transacting business in Oregon. Now, as we all know, identity theft has been a growing problem in recent years. Identity theft occurs when someone acquires key pieces of someone else's identity, such as name, date of birth, or Social Security number, with the intent to commit fraud. Once criminals have access to such information, they can commit many different types of fraud, including taking over bank accounts or making purchases. House Bill 2090A seeks to further limit access to personal and corporate identification by allowing the Secretary of State to refuse to file certain documents that contain unredacted Social Security numbers, state identification numbers, driver's license numbers, credit or debit card numbers, or account numbers. The measure also deletes the requirement that such numbers be included in certain documents filed with the Secretary of State and prohibits the Secretary of State from disclosing these identifiers in documents provided upon receipt of a public records request. In addition, House Bill 2090A directs the Secretary of State to develop a unique identifier made up of a number and or letter combination to be used as part of the central filing system for farm products. And in just one further note, from some notes that I took during our committee hearings on this topic, one might think that lenders' business practices might be impinged by this, but actually this House bill does have the support of the Oregon Bankers Association. And a couple other items of interest regarding this bill is that currently Oregon's UCC law, and currently in our UCC law, we do not require Social Security numbers, but in fact we also accept the national form, which has the Social Security spot on the form, because the states of North and South Dakota require Social Security numbers. So as an example, in the first 8 days of April, which is when this bill was heard in committee, the Secretary of State's office had processed 1,600 UCC filings and had only received 6 Social Security numbers. But they are not allowed to redact those numbers in the database because of they would be in violation of public records law that states that they must keep in an original. So they would like the authorization to be able to return those filings to the filer. So it's a good bill, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Further discussion, Representative Thatcher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In committee, when it came time to the bill, when it came time to voting it out of committee, I had some outstanding questions, and I've since had them answered, and I do feel comfortable supporting this bill, and I urge your support as well.
Further discussion? Representative Edwards, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Votes aye. And all members have voted. House Bill 2090A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2134, relating to inception of communications.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2134A. Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2134 came to you from the Judiciary Committee, where it passed unanimously. This bill, which was brought to us by the Attorney General, expands the circumstances in which law enforcement may lawfully intercept communications. There are some amendments that were adopted into the bill by the committee, and I want to explain to you that the amendments came as a result of a consensus reached among a work group consisting of the Department of Justice, the Oregon District Attorneys Association, the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association, the American Civil Liberties Union, the City of Portland, and the Oregon Association of Chiefs of Police. So everybody had a say in this who had an interest. And they came up with these amendments that are incorporated into the bill. And what happens with this bill is that it modifies the provisions relating to the interception of communications as follows. First of all, it adds racketeering to the list of crimes for which a court may issue an order authorizing a wiretap or a bugging device. It eliminates an ambiguity in the existing statute by clarifying that a court can authorize the use of a bugging device in a public area if there's probable cause to believe that the location is being used or is about to be used in the planning or commission of a crime. It permits a court to authorize the interception of oral communication to which an officer or someone under the officer's supervision is a party, if the court finds that the officer has reasonable suspicion to believe that the person whose communication is to be intercepted has committed, is committing, or is about to commit a crime, the circumstances present a substantial risk of death, serious injury, or sexual assault to the officer or the person assisting the officer, the interception is necessary to protect the safety of the officer or the person assisting the officer, and the officer has exhausted all reasonable investigative procedures or has demonstrated that they would likely fail. This provision also contains a four-year sunset provision, so it will be in effect for 4 years. It started out as a broader bill. It's been narrowed to do what it needs to do, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Bonamici, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Madam Speaker.
She does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Hunt, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Galizio? Votes aye. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 2134A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2264, relating to public contracting by education entities and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2264A. Representative Dellum. Well, we are glad that you support this bill, but why don't you tell us about it first?
Sorry that you woke me up. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to get my self together here. House Bill 2264 is an attempt to give the Department of Ed the latitude in procurement that it needs specifically to purchase materials that are specific to the Department of Ed. House Bill 2264 allows them to do this. My concern in committee was that this was a request of recent problems that the Department of Ed has had, and that with state testing, that is definitely not the case. It was a unanimous vote in committee that we allow the Department of Ed to go out and on procurement when the issue is strictly related to the department and education. And I would I would ask for your support. I'm still rocking.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Dellum, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will vote. Will open the voting system. Representative Kotek, how do you vote? Representative Kotek, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Kump, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Votes aye. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Kump, you were off the floor. Okay, thank you. And House Bill 2264A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2651, relating to crime.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2651A. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2651A comes from you from the Committee on Judiciary, where it passed out unanimously. This bill exempts law enforcement officers from the crime of failing to disclose to participants that a conversation is being recorded. The bill specifies that this would apply when an officer is in uniform, displaying a badge, and operating a vehicle-mounted video camera during a traffic stop. The goal of this bill is to prevent an officer from being criminally liable when another person, other than the one being stopped, enters the camera's range and is filmed without their knowledge, something that happens frequently during a traffic stop. The exception to the law requiring notification of being filmed would not apply if an officer has a reasonable opportunity to inform participants that the conversation is being recorded, however. This bill has a minimum fiscal impact. It's a good bill and deserves your aye vote.
Further discussion? Representative Barker, do you wish to close?
No, ma'am.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Merkley, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Minnis, how do you vote? Representative Minnis? Off the floor. Representative Kremel, how do you vote? Representative Kremel? Off the floor. Representative Gerard, how do you vote? Votes aye. And Representative Clem, how do you vote? Votes aye. All members have voted. House Bill 2651A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2654, relating to construction contractors.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2654A. Representative Riley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This is a pretty simple bill. Current law requires that contractors maintain liability insurance coverage and personal injury and property damage while they're performing their work. This bill would require that contractors maintain liability insurance for completed operations in the same amounts as those required by current law for personal injury and property damage. Those amounts that they would be required to carry vary from $100,000 to $500,000 depending on contractor specialty. This is a good bill. We heard it in our Consumer Protection Committee, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Speaker, I just need to declare a conflict, please.
Representative Schaffler wishes to declare a potential conflict. Please state your conflict.
I'm a licensed conflict. I'm a licensed conflict. I won't argue with that. We need to establish a fee for it, too. Madam Speaker, I'm a licensed contractor in the state of Oregon.
Will the media please cut off the media feed immediately? Is okay. He is being transported to the hospital because he did take kind of a hard fall up here. His parents have been notified. The chief clerk's staff is accompanying him, and I think everything will be okay. And we were actually in the process, I think we had noted Representative Schaffler's conflict of interest for the record, and I have a few other members in the queue, and Representative Thatcher. Representative Schaffler, did you wish to speak, or were you just declaring a conflict?
I think I've said enough, Madam Speaker.
Okay, conflict is noted. Representative Thatcher, you have the floor.
Thank you. I just need to declare a potential conflict as well.
State your conflict, please.
I have a business that is certified with the Construction Contractors Board.
Representative Thatcher declares a conflict of interest. The conflict will be noted for the record. Representative Brune.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also rise to declare a potential conflict.
Please state your conflict.
Unlike my friend from Happy Valley, I'm not a licensed conflictor, but I do work for a general contractor.
Representative Brune declares a potential conflict of interest. It will be noted for the record. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I also would like to declare a potential conflict of interest. I'm a part owner in a construction company.
Representative Boone declares a potential conflict of interest. It is noted for the record. And Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I also declare a potential conflict of interest. I'm a member of a LLC that has a licensed contract.
Representative Scott declares a potential conflict of interest. It will be noted for the record. Further discussion. Representative Riley, do you wish to close?
Just very briefly, I want to remind everybody what the bill is. We're voting on a contractor's construction board requirement that contractors continue to carry, or actually are now required to carry, completion of work insurance, and that's what the bill is about. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gelsher, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Barnhart, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Flores, how do you vote? Representative Flores, are you on the floor? Off the floor. Representative Kremel, how do you vote? Off the floor. House Bill 2654A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2723, relating to post-transfer division of land.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2723A, Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Usually I begin by saying I'm bringing you a simple bill. Today that's not the case. I'm bringing you one that looks a little complex, but isn't. And last session, a constituent of one of our representatives, a member of the Land Use Committee at that time, brought this situation to our attention. They had purchased a lot and a house, and they lived in it, and they went in and got a building permit for something. I think maybe it was for a fireplace, and they got a building permit. They built what they got the permit for. They came back a few years later to get a building permit for something else. I think it was a garage at this time. And Multnomah County informed them that the lot they had their house built on, that they had purchased, was not a legal lot. So they had missed mentioning it to them when they gave them a memo. I mean, a building permit. They got title insurance. The title insurance didn't have anything to do with whether the lot was legal or not. And when they went to the county and found it wasn't legal, they asked the county, can they make it legal? And the county said no, they were prohibited by statute to make the lot legal, even though they would like to have made the lot legal, because it should have been a legal lot. And in the last session, we had a bill that made that lot legal for that one couple, and that solved the problem. County officials said to us, it really is crazy. We really ought to have the authority to make it legal. And meeting with a couple other representatives, I agreed to provide a bill that would make the lot legal. And that's one of the things House Bill 2723 does. Basically, it gives cities and counties the ability to make a lot legal if they want to make it legal and if it meets certain criteria, if it would have been legal at the time it was actually divided. Now, instantly, people ask, how does this happen? Well, what happens is I might own a piece of property, and I might want to divide that piece of property for tax purposes. Let's say I have 160 acres, and I have four worthless sons that are going to end up getting the 160 acres, and I want to get them paying taxes now. So I divide the 160 into four 40-acre tax lots. And the tax assessor makes them four tax lots, and this one is 3201, and this is 3202, and this is 3203, and this is 3204. And my worthless sons begin to pay the taxes, the property taxes, for the land that's going to eventually be theirs. But one of them decides, well, he wants to sell his. And he asks, Dad, is that all right? And Dad says, sure, that's okay. You can sell yours. And he goes and sells tax lot 3204, which has never been created as a lot. And somebody comes along and buys it. And somewhere along the line, what usually happens in this case is they go get a building permit on a lot, and the County Planning Commission says, sorry, that's not a legal lot. There's 160 acres. That's the legal lot, not the 40, and you can't build a house on that, because you could have if it had been divided, if it had been formally subdivided, but that's the department over there. That's the planning department. That's not the tax assessor. And the planning department never gave you authority to build it. So we have this situation. 2723 does two things. It gives cities and counties the right to make that lot legal. But also, as we started discussing this bill, and DLCD came in and talked to us in the committee, and they said, well, let's stop recording deeds for illegal lots. So the committee chair put a work group together, and it included DLCD and the county representatives and 1,000 friends and the realtors, and they decided on an amendment that is the second thing this bill does, which it basically doesn't allow the recording of a deed without proof that the deed is being recorded for a legal property. It stops it at the deed recording place, and it requires an affirmation at that place, a letter from the Planning Commission or a plat that shows this is a legally created lot. And it also requires on the selling of property, when you sell property, there's a whole list of things that the seller has to say yes or no to. Sold property, which I'm sure we all have, you sign that list. Yes, the roof doesn't leak. Yes, the chimney doesn't create a fire. And on down to other things. And this would say, yes, to the best of my knowledge, this is a legally created lot. We worked as close as we could, and we got pretty much consensus among all those parties, and they all supported the bill. And that's a bill you have in front of you. So I urge you to support this bill, which will maybe cut down on the craziness and land use and transfer, and is what basically all the parties would like to see happen. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Garrard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
My congratulations to the good representative from District 33 in bringing this bill forward. We first learned about this problem in last session's Land Use Committee, of which both I and the carrier were members. This is a very good bill, and I urge your aye vote.
For the discussion, Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this is a good bill. It is something to the bill. This is a very good bill. This does take care of a lot of problems. I know we have some in Southern Oregon. My fellow representative from Ashland and I have worked on some. But more importantly, what we need to do in order to prevent this in the future, we need to get the planning department, the assessor, and the recorder on the same page. We need to craft something to make sure that these three come together in an approval process, because that's the hole in the whole ship. Because right now, you can go in, you can record a document with the recorder, it will go to the assessor, but the planning department's left out, and they don't know what's going on. So, good bill.
Further discussion? Seeing none, representing Greenlink, do you wish to close? He does not. Those opinion the bill should pass, vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Crummell, how do you vote? Representative Crummell is off the floor. Representative Krieger, how do you vote? Krieger votes aye. Representative Barnhart, how do you vote? Barnhart votes aye. House Bill 2723A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that the bills remaining on today's third reading of House bills, except for House Bill 3535, be carried over to their proper place on the Thursday, April 26, 2007, third reading calendar. Is there an objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3535, relating to State Financial Administration of the Department of State Police, appropriate money and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3535. Representative Richardson. Thank you. floor is yours.
Mr. Speaker, colleagues, House Bill 3535 gives the opportunity for Oregon to have a funded bill for its state police. We have the opportunity with this bill to assure that there will be guaranteed 1% funding from the general fund for the Oregon State Police Patrol Division. This is a bill whose time has come. This is a bill that will help assure that we have 24/7 coverage on our roads to help assure that our members of the citizens and the members of our state are safe and secure. Please vote aye on House Bill 3535.
Further discussion, Representative Hunt.
Mr. Speaker, I request unanimous consent to use a visual aid.
Representative Hunt, I ask for unanimous consent to use a visual aid. Is there an objection? Hearing none, please proceed.
To the bill. Mr. Speaker, colleagues, in 2007, House Democrats have committed that we will restore at least 100 state troopers to Oregon's highways. We actually made that commitment last summer after 16 years of disinvestment in our state troopers. Unfortunately, we were tasked with cleaning up this mess that had been left with these 16 years of disinvestment. We made these commitments, frankly, knowing full well that even adding 100 state troopers this session would not make up fully for these 16 years of disinvestment. We can't make up for all those years of problem in just one session. On the funding of state police, some have claimed this year that we can restore Oregon State Police to 24/7 patrols without any new money. These are pie-in-the-sky promises, colleagues, little more than partisan politics and grandstanding. Here's why. Those who now question our ability and our commitment to state police funding are the same people who have been cutting state police for the last 16 years, cutting them, in fact, more than in half. If you look at the chart, which I think many of you have seen, you can see the clear line between 16 years ago of cut after cut after cut after cut to the troopers patrolling our highways. This situation has got to end. And I will recall you that I and many of us on this side opposed those cuts during those years. This proposal that is before us, House Bill 3535, is not a solution. It's a political spin that has been put forward in an effort to disguise who's really been responsible for these cuts over these last 16 years. Now, what state troopers have asked for, what they need and what they deserve, is a truly sustainable, dependable source of real funding that won't be dithered away and withered away in following legislative sessions. That's what House Democrats are committed to delivering. We made that pledge last summer. We will deliver on that pledge this session. But frankly, you can't get something for nothing. Using general fund revenue to pay for state police this year gets back into the same old game we've seen before. It pits public safety against schools, pits schools against health care against other services that have all experienced dramatic disinvestment. Something has got to give. Oregonians know and are tired.
Representative Olson rises to a point of order. Please state your point.
Mr. Speaker, at the very beginning of what the representative from Fauquier County is talking about, with this previous legislative responsibility and those folks that had been here in the past 16 years, I've watched this for 29 years. This has not been just as he's trying to give an impression.
You're raising a point of germaneness.
Anyways, as far as I'm concerned, I'm feeling really impugned with what he's saying.
Okay. Thank you. It'd be completely inappropriate for a member to put into someone else, speak to their motives or to a group of members of their motives. If one is speaking to history, that has to be extremely clear, and not to use groups to propose a certain Hold on a minute. Get the right word, sir. When you are speaking to a Representative Olson, to your point, members can speak to a class that does not translate directly to the impugning of an individual member. Nevertheless, I would like to caution the speaker to make sure one does not speak and attribute motives to any of the individuals here on the floor because of what previous legislatures have done.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The facts are unassailable. If you look at the facts on this chart, which come from the Oregon State Police Officers Association, the very group of state troopers that we are pledging to increase and pledging to support, they're the ones who have given us these numbers. These are the numbers that the legislature has adopted in previous budgets. These numbers are unassailable. The cut after cut after cut over 16 years. It is time to reverse that trend, and the way we've got to get out of the box that we've been in is to actually find new money to fund Oregon State Troopers. The effort to permanently fund state police should be bipartisan, and we welcome our colleagues to this debate.
Representative Maurer, to what point do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, I request that the visual aid is distinguishing the group between the elephants and the donkey, which is representative of parties, and which I believe is inappropriate.
Stenides.
Oh, they like the chart. They like the chart. I think that was the goal, was to distinguish.
We're still at ease. Representative Hunt, can you join me for just a moment?
Sure.
Also come back to order. Representative Hunt, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Whoever was in control of the legislature during the last 16 years significantly cut state police. I don't know who that was because the chart is gone. Whoever was in control cut state police. We've got to change that situation. We welcome our colleagues to this debate. We welcome this opportunity on the floor to make clear that House Democrats will deliver on the pledge we've made in previous sessions, that if we were put in the majority, we would begin the process of restoring state police. That promise will be delivered on this year. And if we really do care about state police, we all ought to be willing, every one of us, to stand up for increases in revenue that will fund those state police. Not just to say we're for them in a theoretical sense, but to actually say we're willing to pay for them. Without additional revenue, we face the almost impossible task of balancing Oregonians' priorities against one another and doing the best job we can to reinvest in the face of ongoing revenue shortages. This bill forces us to make those impossible choices, and that's why it's the wrong solution. The right solution is putting new dollars on the table, and that's what we are committed to doing this session, and to adjourn this session not with another cut, but with a reinvestment in Oregon State Police.
Further discussion, Representative David Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Yes,
he does.
As my good colleague from Wilsonville is fond of saying, I apologize for not submitting these questions to you in advance. Should we pass this bill today, when will it go into effect?
The bill says that this 2007 Act, being necessary for immediate preservation, an emergency is declared to exist, and the 2007 Act takes effect on July 1, 2007. That's lines 13, 14, and 15 if you didn't read this 14-line bill.
Okay. Further clarification?
Clarification. Does Carrier yield?
Yes.
He does.
What percentage of general fund revenue would be allocated to state police for the 2007-09 biennium?
1%. That also, just to clarify that, I think that's on line 11 and 12, where it says the Oregon State Police Patrol Division shall have 1% of the amount of revenues projected to be received by the general fund of that biennium. That also is line 11 and 12 of this 14-line bill, in case you haven't seen that.
Additional question of the carrier?
Additional question. Does Carrier yield?
Yes.
He does.
What are the safeguards in this bill that ensure that this 1% would continue to fund state police?
Mr. Speaker, the bill makes no guarantees about future funding. It merely dedicates that 1% of the revenues, the general fund revenue for the state of Oregon from now on would be set aside into a separate fund dedicated for the state police patrol division. So that means that in the future, as our economy expands, there will be an expansion of money that would be dedicated into that set fund. If it is insufficient, then certainly this body would have the ability to dedicate additional funds. And if it turns out that it's overly funded, within 31 votes, this body could also take unnecessary funds from that dedicated fund and use it elsewhere. We are not relinquishing the control and power over the money. We're merely putting it into a dedicated fund for this purpose, and then this body in future legislative sessions can decide whether it's sufficient or insufficient.
Mr. Speaker, further clarification?
Further clarification, do you yield?
Certainly.
He does.
Couldn't a future legislative assembly just repeal this statute, putting us right back in the center of this debate in a future session?
Thank you for asking that question. It allows us to clarify the reality that this legislative session, we're making a decision to assure that there's going to be adequate funding in a dedicated fund to provide 24/7 coverage for our highways. We certainly would not want to do anything that would tie the hands of future legislatures to use their knowledge, their research, their information to adjust based on future circumstances which are unknown at this time.
Mr. Speaker, one further clarification?
Additional clarification, do you?
Yes,
he does.
What component of this bill guarantees that current OSP funding will not be reduced?
Mr. Speaker, I'm kind of amazed at the question because this is a 14-line bill. Actually, the first line just says a bill for an act. And it makes no mention of guarantees. But to clarify this, in case it's a little complicated, we're talking about a bill that will establish the Oregon State Police Patrol Division Fund as a separate fund in the Treasury that will be dedicated with and will receive 1% of the general fund revenues every biennium. Those funds go in that account and will be utilized for the, you know, the patrol division. They're not guaranteed, other than because of our action we're taking on this bill, assuming that the Senate will take similar action and that the governor will sign the bill into law, we're merely saying that the funds will be there. And we're assuring that they'll be there for the next biennium, but of course, the next legislative session will have to determine whether or not those funds in that fund are sufficient or insufficient. No guarantees in life.
Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I appreciate the opportunity today to discuss an issue of paramount importance to us this legislative session. Our state police patrols have been hit with devastating cuts over the last 16 years. While campaigning for this office, I accompanied an Oregon State Trooper on patrol and saw firsthand how tightly our public safety resources are stretched. Response times are affected, vehicles fly down the freeway unchecked at speeds of 90 miles an hour or more. Our ability to crack down on interstate trafficking of meth is diminished. It is time for reinvestment. That is why I, along with my colleagues, pledged last summer to put at least 100 more state troopers in Oregon's highways. We made these commitments knowing we may still fall short of where we ought to be at 24/7 patrols with trooper levels where they were in the early 1990s, but we are committed to what is both a significant reinvestment and a realistic commitment that we can truly deliver. It is also time for honesty. This bill does not provide a sustainable or dedicated source of funding for state police. Indeed, this bill does not provide any new funding or new troopers on our highways in this or any future biennium. Mr. Speaker, request permission to use a visual aid.
Representative Edwards, I ask for unanimous consent to use a visual aid. Is there an objection? Hearing none, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have here a letter from Legislative Council in response to some questions regarding this legislation. One of the questions that was posed to Legislative Council was, as Section 3 of the bill states the bill takes effect on July 1, 2007, what directive does this give to the 74th Legislative Assembly in regards to the Oregon State Police's 07-09 biennial budget, which is scheduled to be adopted prior to July 1, 2007? The response was, if the budget for the Department of State Police for the biennium beginning July 1, 2007 is enacted before July 1, 2007, the provisions of this bill will first apply to the budget for the biennium beginning July 1, 2009. Another question posed to LC in this regard was, would any future legislative assembly be able to remove the statutory 1% appropriation level for the patrol division of the Oregon State Police? The LC response was, yes, there are in fact three ways the legislative assembly could do this. One, a subsequent legislative assembly could repeal the statute that requires a specified amount to be appropriated to the Oregon State Police Patrol Division Fund. Two, a subsequent legislative assembly could amend the statute to change the required amount of appropriation. Or three, a subsequent legislative assembly could simply appropriate less than the required amount. According to LC, this appropriation of less than 1% of the projected general fund revenues, if reviewed by the court, would be considered an implied amendment to the statute, whether the Legislative Assembly made that clear or not. In light of these responses from Legislative Council, it appears as though we cannot fix 16 years of cuts with this particular bill. To claim that we can, and that we can do it without raising new revenue, implementing substantial service delivery efficiencies, or identifying compensatory program cuts is simply disingenuous. This bill provides a good vehicle for debate, and with such a complex problem, I believe significant debate is appropriate. But what I think this debate has shown is that this bill is not a solution to either our public safety problem or our revenue shortfalls.
Further discussion, Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Well, I was relieved that the representative from Hillsborough didn't quote any dead Greek philosophers. It's always tough to follow him, but appreciate that. You know, colleagues, probably the most dangerous thing that any of us will do today is to get in our cars and drive home, or at least to your temporary residence. Drunk drivers, bad drivers, and criminals transporting methamphetamine. It's really an asphalt jungle out there. And we all know that our state police put their lives on the line to protect us and our families. And we have failed. We have failed to adequately fund our state police. And the people of Oregon demand and they deserve much better. The Oregon State Police must have a long-term sustainable funding source. You know, last session, with the leadership of the representative from southwestern Oregon, Representative Krieger, and others, this body passed a package of bills to combat the methamphetamine epidemic. And we all know that Oregon State Troopers are literally the first line of defense in this battle. We have to strengthen and enhance the police to combat what is now the most significant part of that meth epidemic, which is the overwhelming majority of the meth coming from outside of our borders into the state. Interdiction efforts necessitate a strong Oregon State Police. So I rise to just remind all of us that we did some good work on the methamphetamine package last session. But in order to continue to fight this scourge, we absolutely have to adequately fund, and we need long-term sustainable funding of our Oregon State Troopers. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members, colleagues.
To the bill?
Yes, to the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you. Actually, I'm going to kind of read a little bit what I did started the other day. House Bill 3535 is a pretty simple bill. It creates the Oregon State Police Patrol Division Fund and dedicates 1% of the general fund revenue to the Oregon State Police Patrol Division. This bill restores 140 troopers and ensures we have 24 hours of coverage on the main highways of the state. It provides opportunity for future growth. Currently, the Oregon State Police has about 287 troopers that patrol the highways. That's about the same amount of troopers there were in the mid-1950s when the state of Oregon was building Interstate 5. Up until 1979, the Oregon State Police Patrol Division had a dedicated funding source that was the Highway Trust Fund. I became a member of the state police in 1974. I remember in 1980 when we were removed from the Highway Trust Fund. From that point forward, I have only seen one other time the members of this legislative body treat the Oregon State Police as a priority. In 1999, the legislature authorized the department to hire 100 troopers in two phases. But that was short-lived. After having implemented phase one, hiring 25 troopers, the governor at that time stepped in using the remaining dollars for another priority. The department was never able to complete phase two, hiring the balance of the 100 troopers. Once again, as a member of the agency at that time, I felt that the state police was not considered a priority. And who would think public safety not a priority? So here we are today, April 25th, 2007, we still have no dedicated funding and still no budget for the state police. And as I've heard, I would venture to say that most of us have campaigned all last year ensuring an increase of troopers on the road, making the state police a priority. It is true that there has been much discussion throughout the Capitol this session about the state police. However, there is no other bill that has the priority support this one has. There are a total of 42 members of this House who have signed on to support House Bill 3535. And even with the type of support this bill has to come to the floor with this type of a debate today. Let's talk about some of the facts. The Patrol Division receives less than 1% of the general fund budget today. From a trooper's perspective, the governor's recommended budget isn't serious about increasing the ranks when it eliminates 46 positions but replaces them with the auto insurance surcharge that doesn't have a chance. The co-chair's budget is interesting as well. It adds 100 positions total, but not to patrol, 15 to the criminal division. There are four things I don't know about House Bill 3535. I do not know a disabled motorist who is not glad to see a trooper arrive to assist. I do not know a legislator who does not want more troopers on the road. I do not know a better plan of providing dedicated funding with a 20% increase in general fund dollars than this one. And I do not know a better time to make the state police a priority than now. It's time to make the state police a priority. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
There's been many issues brought up here today, but as my fellow representative from Albany said, this hasn't been just a short ordeal. It's a 29-year ordeal of eroding of this force. I'm not sure where someone picked out 100 troopers, but I was in an interim committee that we discussed at least 140 to get 24/7. Right now, every individual that goes to a bar knows between 2 and 6 there are no troopers available, so therefore they can get home just fine, even though they may be intoxicated. This process has been long coming. I feel that we all deserve the responsibility of taking care of this. If we don't, 30 years tells me it won't happen. We continue to do the same thing over and over again. Isn't that our fault? Aren't we the ones that are at fault? Here's an opportunity for each and every one of us to make a statement and say, we do want law enforcement. It is one of our priorities, but more importantly, it is something that we owe the people of the state of Oregon. That also needs to be carried farther. It needs to be enhanced even more so. When ONC revenues drop off, who's going to backfill the fact that we won't have sheriffs? We need to prepare the state for that. That day is coming, and it's coming soon. Why dedicated funding? I'll tell you why. That way each and every one of us has to stand up on this floor and say yay or nay to take it away. That's been the problem with the state police. We have not had dedicated funding, so therefore, they remind me of a group of people that get ready to go camping. They're in their trailer all packed to go every session, and then no one hooks up a pickup to them to take them to the camping place. We have eroded this organization to the point where it is incompetent. And what I mean by that is we had an individual when we were going home in Roseburg, just past, below Roseburg, that had lost their taillights at night, and we called to ask a trooper to intercept them to let them know on a trailer. The trooper finally got available at Phoenix, 60-some miles. That's not acceptable. We had a four-fatality pileup on Highway 140 where four people lost their lives. We didn't have a trooper on in Klamath or Jackson County. That's not acceptable. We used to, back in the latter 70s, early 80s, we would, every month or so, we'd make a drug bust on Interstate 5. Today, you're lucky to get one a year. Why? Who's there to stop it? We've decimated the force that we entrusted upon that. 3535 is a bipartisan bill. We can talk the talk, but more importantly, we have an opportunity to walk the walk now. Here's our chance to come forth, make this organization at least 24/7 to sound to the point of where they at least have some backup. They're at least out there between 2 and 6 a.m. So why are we even debating 100 versus 140? If you're going to short something to make it inefficient, why even bother? I want 140 troopers. No, actually, that's not true, folks. Actually, I want about 440. Because that's how many we've lost since 1979. And we did it. Everyone in this body prior to us has done that. Doesn't matter what party it is, we have done it. I urge your yes vote on this. 35-35 is a start. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Berger. To the bill.
Colleagues, in my discussion of this bill, in my wholehearted support, I might add, I might start with a little discussion of the chart, the disappeared chart. This is a chart I've studied and I've looked at for a long time because state police funding has been critically important to me. And as I've looked in that chart, I sort of dispute, not sort of, I definitely dispute that partisan machinations was the reason for the curves of that chart. I would like to remind you of a little history. The first big dip in that chart occurred in the early 90s when Measure 5 became the reality of Oregon budgeting. That's when the state inherited, through our voters, the major obligation of paying for education. It had a huge impact on, I think, everything, and I think it had a lot to do with the big curve down on that chart at that time. The second big dip in that famous curve, or that famous chart that is gone from our chamber, was the recent disastrous downturn of our economy in the early part of this century, 2001-03 sessions. We couldn't afford anything, you guys, then, least of all state police. But if you looked again, you'd see during the 90s there was a steady uptick. And I think we've heard testimony already from others who have said in the late 90s we made a huge commitment to even more. But the downturn is what prevented us from actually funding all these state police that we, at that time, committed to. I would also say that in the 90s, as police was being funded at a pretty steady uptick, we didn't know then. We were kind of stupid, I think, to the impacts of meth in our community. We were burying it. It was there. We just weren't looking at it. Now we know better. Now we understand that we have a huge and immense problem running up and down our highways. And while we made some good progress on it last session, that was the beginning. We're a long ways from home. And one of the critical things is this highway of drugs that are going through our state. We didn't know in the 90s that we were going to face a major recession. We made effort to try and add to state police in the late 90s, but that recession had huge negative impact. And the other thing that I don't think have addressed here, we have not invested in highway capacity in a state. Go out and drive from here to Portland. It's the same three lanes we've had for years and years, but look how big the traffic is. How immense it is, how we struggle, how the whole state is shut down in the Terwilliger curves when something bad happens. We need state police there doing their job to keep our highways open, to help us when we are helpless on the highways, to see and stop this river of things going through our state that we want stopped. Let me just say, this argument that it's a matter of new money, I don't buy. What this is a matter of our priorities. And right now, our priority should be now, not when the next recession comes, not when we're faced with some other thing that demands our budget. Now we have to make a priority with the money we have for 24/7, not half a loaf, not we'll get there in the future. I think 24/7 coverage, it should be the goal of this legislature. It should be the top priority of this budget. And I hope you will all join with me in voting for this proposal that makes a clear statement that for this legislature, 24/7 is our priority. Thank you.
Representative Minnis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I've lived through the state police wars.
To the bill.
To the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Got to remember. I've lived through the state police wars, and as staff and as a member, I've sat on this House floor and I've listened to the debate, and I've watched the governors, beginning with then-Governor Barbara Roberts on down, and almost every single one of their budgets, they have cut that agency. And then it was left up to the legislature to try to identify some money to fill the hole, if that was possible, and keep this agency somehow solvent. There have also been questions about some of the ways that the agency has used the dollars that have been allocated to them. Maybe should have put some more officers on the road instead of used them for other things. Legitimate questions that didn't have good answers. But ladies and gentlemen, for 20 years, this agency has fought to have the tools and the manpower to do the job that we've asked them to do. I've heard the question or the statement on this floor today that, gee, well, if we do this today, there's no guarantee that in the future that will stay that way. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that can be said of every single piece of legislation that passes this floor. You might pass a law today, and next session, that law goes away because you have different people in the room. But I'll tell you what, the state police deserve a dedicated fund. They need an assurance that when they put their lives on the line for your kids, for you, for your families, for the people of the state, that they can have somebody close on a radio, close proximity, that'll come back them up if they get in trouble. In 1999, I had the privilege of sitting on the Ways and Means Committee as a member that added the 100 troopers, and we were delighted. But I remember that session, we went to the state police, and we had a female officer. We actually went and toured their facility here in Salem. And we spent an afternoon just talking and having a tour. And I remember a state police officer, she's a female, she told us a story about being out in the middle of nowhere by herself. She pulled a car over. She had two felons in the car who were dangerous. And she had absolutely no backup. We wanted to remedy that situation and not have our police officers put in danger again. So we came into the building. Representative Ben Westland was the chair of that subcommittee that put together the budget. And we all worked very hard to put this package together. We left town, we were excited, I felt good, I thought, okay, this is a problem we have addressed, probably solved, we're going to give them some legs, give them some bodies to help manage our highways and crime in this state. It was to much dismay, and frankly, as an insult to those people serving at the time, that the governor said, don't fill those positions. He had different priorities, ladies and gentlemen, and yeah, we were headed into some difficult days, but his priority at that point was not the state police or our public safety. In fact, I would challenge you that I think public safety, given the climate, not just here in Oregon, but worldwide, needs to come to the top of our priorities. Because if we as a society are not safe, nothing else we do on this floor matters. Because if we can't operate in safety, there's no point. I noted the chart. I was disappointed to see the chart because it ignored that we had
tried to allocate 100 positions in 99 that was conveniently left off the chart. Perhaps the outcome, because that governor, Governor Kitzhaber at that time, said don't fund them, the outcome was the same, but to blame the legislature for that was patently unfair and I think somewhat partisan. So ladies and gentlemen, I believe it is high time that we prioritize public safety at the top of the list.
Representative Flores yields.
Thank you, Representative. And make sure that our citizens know they are protected 24/7, and in many cases, it is the rural part of the state that suffers because they are small communities. They don't have a lot of local law enforcement that can fill the gap. Oftentimes, the state police has to go in and complement their efforts, and sometimes they don't have dollars to put the kind of law enforcement on the street that they need. If we don't protect our citizens, then everything else is moot. It doesn't matter. We must make sure, ladies and gentlemen, that the people of this state know that if they pick up a phone and they need a police officer, that person's there to help. And particularly, and I said this before, but as a wife of a Portland police officer, we've been married 35 years almost, but for 27 years we sent him out the door. I didn't know if he was going to come home at night. He got in a couple of knife fights, had people shoot at him. I heard him one night yelling on the radio for cover. I quit listening to it after that. This is a real issue. This isn't politics, ladies and gentlemen. These are real people with real lives. They deserve priority, and they deserve our respect. And they deserve to have a dedicated funding, 1% general fund that they can count on, and then, go out and do their job without worrying about having somebody come help them if they get in trouble. Because you know what? They're helping us. They're helping us. This is not a partisan issue. Shouldn't be a partisan issue. This is a public safety issue, ladies and gentlemen. And I ask for your support. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the representative from Hillsborough, please.
Question of the representative from Hillsborough. Does the representative from Hillsborough yield?
I do.
He does.
Thank you, Representative. Yeah, I wasn't real clear in your comments that you made, but you said, Representative, that we need to find new revenue to fund additional troopers. Are you prepared today to vote for a tax increase to support additional troopers?
Thank you for that question. Actually, what I said was that we need to be prepared to either raise new revenue, implement substantial service delivery efficiencies, or identify compensatory program cuts.
Follow up, please.
Follow up. Do you yield?
I do.
Actually, maybe it's clarification. So, as I think you read that, it would allude to me to the fact that you are offering at least as a potential a tax increase to support additional troopers. So would you be available, or today, would you vote for a tax increase for new troopers?
What I noted is that there are three options before us. We have the option of either raising revenue, making cuts to the existing co-chairs or governor's recommended budgets, or alternately improving service efficiencies to free up additional money.
Clarification, Mr. Speaker?
Clarification, do you yield?
I do.
He does.
So it seems to me that if we raise revenue in order to do that, that would probably be an increase in taxes.
It's a question of policy or my interpretation of what I just said.
Do you wish to further clarify your question?
I believe the representative you said raising revenue would be one of the three options.
That's correct.
And if we raise revenue, how do we do that?
Well, generally, we have two options before us. We can either, three options. We can raise taxes, we can raise fees or assessments, or alternately, we can eliminate current tax credits or deductions.
Thank you. Follow up?
Follow up question to you.
I do.
He does.
Would you be prepared to do any one of those three today?
There are a number of alternative plans on the table. My point in asking the in my prepared statements to the chamber were to indicate that this current bill does not solve the problem. It does not provide funding in this biennium if we end before prior to July 1, and it does not guarantee future revenues for the Oregon State Police.
Yeah. Follow-up, please.
Follow-up question to you.
I do.
I don't believe that answered my question, so I'll ask the question again and maybe ask you to give an answer to the question. If the options were as you stated, and they were to raise taxes, reduce benefits, or raise fees, are you prepared today to do that?
Again, I'll respond by saying there are a variety of alternative plans on the table.
Follow-up?
Follow-up to you.
Mr. Speaker, given that I find myself repeating my previous answers, I will decline to answer.
The question is declined.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the Majority Leader.
Question of the Majority Leader. Does the Majority Leader yield?
I do.
He does.
Representative, isn't it true that the number of state troopers decreased by 161 from 641 to 480 during the period of 1979 to 1990 while the Democrat Party controlled the Oregon House?
Thank you for the question. I was in high school at that point, and so was not paying close attention to the legislature. In the time period since I've been out of college, which was the time period I referenced, there were 16 years of cuts under Republican control of the House, but I'm not intimately familiar with the time period before that.
Follow-up, please.
Follow-up question. Does the Majority Leader yield?
I do.
He does.
So hopefully while you were in school and college and times other than when you've been elected here, you would be familiar with who might be in control of the governor's office.
Yes, I am.
Follow-up?
Follow-up question, do you yield?
I do.
He does.
The 16-year period that you referenced earlier in your remarks and you had the vanishing chart that was sitting here, who was in control of the governor's office?
The chart I referenced actually had nothing to do with the governor. Those were the legislatively adopted budgets. So while it is true that the governors, in probably every case, did sign the budget adopted by the legislature, those were the legislatively adopted budget figures that I referenced earlier.
Follow-up?
Follow-up question to you.
I do.
He does.
So who was the governor in those 16 years?
We've had several governors in those 16 years.
Follow-up?
Follow-up question to you.
What party were they from?
Just a moment. Do you?
I do.
He does.
What party were they from? The several governors.
I believe the governor over the last 16 years, fortunately, have been Democratic governors to prevent even further cuts.
Okay. Follow-up, please.
Was that an additional question, Carrier?
Yes.
Or as the Majority Leader? Do you yield?
I'll be happy to yield for one more question.
Great. That's all I have. Thank you very much, Representative. In your opinion, does the governor play a key role in determining funding levels for all agencies, including state police?
I think that has varied from year to year as you look over Oregon history. I think clearly when governors are at their best, they do play a key role. I think Governor Kulongoski, to his credit, has put forward a vision of a budget with 24/7 police coverage. He has identified, as flawed as it may be, a dedicated funding source. That is not identified in the bill before us.
Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier, please.
Question of the carrier. Does Kerry yield?
Yes.
He does.
Thank you, Representative. House Bill 3535 calls for an additional $16 million for troopers over the co-chair's proposed budget. What do you propose to cut to find that $16 million from the co-chair's proposed budget?
Clarification.
The carrier seeks a clarification. Please go ahead and state your question of the questioner.
I'm reading the 14 lines of this bill, and I don't see any of the figures that she's referencing. She said this bill states some numbers, and I don't see them here.
Can you please clarify your question?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative. I extrapolated those numbers by taking 1% of the general fund revenue and comparing what that amount is, which is approximately $127 million, and compared that to the co-chairs, which is $111 million for the same function, and then I subtracted 111 from 127, and I got $16 million.
And your question?
And my question was that given that there's that difference, and that the statement has been, wow, not a good sign, my microphone is falling down. Given that it's been stated that this plan will allow us to fund troopers at this level without raising any additional taxes, I was wondering specifically what the proposed cuts are to find those $16 million. What $16 million in programs do you propose to take out of the budget in order to meet this cost?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to thank the representative for asking such a cogent and important question for this body, because it allows us all to consider the reality that in the current biennium, when the budget was approved by the last legislature, there was a limit of $12.393 billion. But in the upcoming biennium, for which the budget that we're working on now, we're dealing with $14.9 billion, approximately $2.5 billion more money than what we have currently. And now we're talking about, what was it, 11 or was it $16 million? Anyway, the number, to answer the question, is I'm sure that this body and our governor, who put first public safety and the protection of our people, can come up with enough money to fund first a 24/7 coverage by our Oregon State Police. And whether it's $123 million or $111 million or $150 million, we have $2.5 billion of additional revenue from which to fund state police. Hope that helps.
Thank you, Representative. Follow-up question, please.
Follow-up question of Kerry, do you yield?
Yes.
He does.
Thank you. I appreciate that you clarified the additional revenues that are available in this biennium, and I believe that the co-chairs recognized that in their budget when they built it. So, again, I would clarify my question. From the co-chair's budget, what $16 million would you cut or would you save out of the co-chair's budget in order to put state troopers first in the budget?
Thank you. I understand the question, and I was meaning to answer it by the reality that we have so much more money, we're not cutting anything. We have a situation that's fairly confusing to all of us, or we should be confused, in that the co-chairs have proposed a budget that's over $800 billion over the 20% in additional revenues that are available, including $350 million of borrowed money that's part of that budget. And so here we are faced with $2.5 billion of additional revenue and a budget that has another $800 million on top of that. So we're not talking about cuts at all. We're talking about this body determining what's the core function of government. What is the number one principle of government? And that is to protect the people. And we're asking for a minuscule amount of all of that money, that revenue, and for what? To assure that the patrol division for the Oregon State Police
can cover our highways 7 days a week for 24 hours a day. Is that a cut? Absolutely not. It should be the first thing that we fund out of the $2.5 billion of additional revenue.
Thank you, Representative. May I ask one more follow-up question, please? Additional question to the carrier.
Additional question to the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Yes.
He does.
Thank you, and thank you for your energetic replies. It was really interesting, that the idea of putting troopers first, and I agree that public safety has to be one of our top priorities. It was just a few weeks ago that there was a motion on this floor to put school children first and to fund K-12 education, and the representative from Wilsonville brought to the floor a motion out of the Ways and Means Committee to fund public schools at $6.245 billion. Given that that many people in this chamber have committed to that number by bringing that to the floor, and that that's the largest number, and that there are no cuts and you haven't identified any, will you, as part of your leadership, be bringing back forward the Republican corporate minimum plan in order to find the revenue to support this plan and other priorities that have been identified in this chamber on the floor?
Thank you. Again, the answer is contained within the amount of revenue that we have for this biennium. With a 20% increase in revenue, with $2.5 billion in more revenue than what we had before, there is enough money to fund education and to fund public safety. We're not talking about cuts. We're talking about a reduced in new spending for non-essential programs. Certainly, public safety is an essential program. Education is an essential program. We have the funds in our revenue forecasts to cover both of those. But what we have to have is the courage, the tenacity, the determination to assure that we not only provide education for children, but that we provide a safe environment for those children to walk to and from their buses, for the school buses to be able to drive from where they pick up the little children all the way to school and all the way back again. It needs to be safe on the roads, and where there's enough money to do that.
Thank you, Representative. To the bill, please.
To the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We need more troopers on the road. It's that simple. We need more troopers on the road. Last summer, I had the opportunity, as did many of you, to do a ride-along with a state trooper, and I enjoyed my ride very much, except for how unsafe I felt when I came home, recognizing the miles and miles and miles of territory that were not covered when my loved ones or when I are driving on the roads. And so I, like I believe every member of this body, want very much to see more troopers on the road. Because of that, I want to be absolutely certain that we have a funding source, a dedicated funding source that is dedicated to state troopers. We have seen our general fund roller coaster up and down over the last several years. House Bill 3535 is not a dedicated funding source. It is a dedicated allocation of an unstable general fund. The representative in my questioning quite accurately referenced we have more revenue available to us in this biennium than we had in the last biennium. However, due to the instability in our funding system, on a per capita basis, the level of revenue that's available to us during this legislative session is equal to what we had in 1999. But let's assume for a minute it wasn't, that it's a pure 20% increase over adequately funded services, that we're serving all of our needs in our senior and people with disabilities programs, that we have appropriate public safety, that we've got sheriffs on the road. Let's assume that we're in good financial shape, which I would argue that we're not, and we've got 20%. Well, from this floor, through press releases and other places, I've been collecting the wish list, kind of the shopping list of what it is that people want to buy with this collection of this additional 20% of money. That includes the motion on this floor for $6.245 billion for K-12 schools. I've heard press releases and a commitment to an estate tax, which is an additional $42 million. It's been stated that there's a priority to have a capital gains tax cut at $230 million additional, $127 million for troopers, $820 total for OUS. Healthy kids, I've heard people say, we have enough money in that 20% to cover all kids. We don't need to have a tobacco tax, $84 million for that, $71 million for capital construction. if you look at what is proposed in the co-chair's proposed budget, despite having a 20% increase in revenues, we've proposed a 33% increase in the number of troopers that are on the road. So that's huge. But if I, and it's not adequate, it's not enough. But if I go back and I add up that wish list that I just added up to, for you, that on its own is over $8 billion. Over eight, I can't do it as well, I'm sorry. Over, I concede. It's a lot of money, over $8 billion. And that's before we even talk about the state crime lab, before we talk about corrections, natural resources, the entire Department of Human Services budget, economic development, all of the other programs that are essential to us to fund. So it's not about prioritizing troopers or not caring about troopers. It's about responsibly balancing a budget. And we can't come to this floor on every issue and say that every issue is the top priority. We have to do those things. If I ran my family budget the way that this wish list runs, this ongoing commitment to doing these funds, I saw a press release that said, don't defund Oregon Project Independence. We need $16 million more in general funds. If we did all these things that we say that we said that we could do with that 20% increase while we still have the defunding and the other things, and I did that in my family budget, we would go broke and I'd be bankrupt. The most important job I've ever done in my life is to be a mother to my children. My kids come to me, they have a lot of things they want. Our family has a lot of things we need. I hate it when I have to say no. I hate it when I have to say no to important things. I hate it when I have to say no to things that I believe that my children need. But sometimes I have to do that, and I have to go back and reprioritize and figure out how it is that I'm going to make that happen and how it is that I'm going to make it work. I was reflecting as I prepared for today and talking about this bill, which I've really agonized over because I am very concerned about our troopers on the road. And I would support a true dedicated fund to support troopers on the road where they knew that that funding was available to them and it was steady for them. But I'm concerned that it doesn't provide a real solution. As the representative from Hillsborough indicated, House Bill 3535 doesn't provide...
Bonamici yields.
House Bill 3535 doesn't provide any money for troopers. It does not send the message that we prioritize troopers, that we honor troopers, that we want to fund troopers. It sends the message that we are willing to say that we will take an inadequate amount of an inadequate budget and dedicate it to them in a way that can be overturned at any time with no promise, with no guarantee, with no ironclad deal that says you can count on this. And it made me think about an episode I watched the other day. I'm way behind, but there's a television show that's called The Office. I don't know if anybody's ever seen it. And the employer was having to negotiate health care reductions, so he sent it off to another employee and said, you figure out how to get rid of the health care because we've got to cut these costs. And his employees were really mad at him. And he said, don't worry, I'm going to make it okay. I've got a big surprise for you at the end of the day. And it follows this guy around. He goes to a travel agency, and he says, don't you have a deal where the casino will send its bus over and pick up my people and drive them for free to the casino and then comp them to stay overnight for free and comp all their food and give each of them $200 for entertainment and bingo and all those things? And the travel agent said, no, you actually have to pay for those. And so then he went off to another place and said, I've heard that for free you'll take, you know, a company and take them on your ride for free. And everywhere he went, he couldn't do it unless he put real money in it. So at the end of the day, what he brought back to his employees were ice cream sandwiches. And that was the big surprise. I think that our state troopers deserve more than ice cream sandwiches. I want 24/7 coverage on the road. I want 24/7 coverage on the road this year, next year, and 10 years from now. And in that 24/7 coverage, I want them to have appropriate safety and training and staffing supports to make sure that they are safe when they're out there in the middle of nowhere, that someone is there to support and to help them. I want to continue to have this conversation in a place where we can look at what are the funds that are available to us. I want us to find a real solution. The need is simple. We need troopers on the road. The solution is complex. House Bill 3535 is a simple solution to a complex problem. I would like to move forward and continue the discussion in the Ways and Means process so that we can find the dollars to provide 24/7 coverage in a way that really is safe for our troopers, that's safe for our communities, and sends the message that we don't just want to talk about 24/7 coverage for troopers. We don't just want to say that we value troopers. We want to put our values where our mouth is. We want to put them up to the front, and if we need additional revenue to do it, we're going to stand up and take those votes and make that happen for our troopers. They deserve no less. Thank you very much.
Representative Wisnett, what bursts your eyes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We've had some great comments, and that's what this chamber is all about, and I think that we can all be proud of that. However, I move the previous question.
Representative, you're only in order to make that motion if you are in the queue to speak, and you cannot do that from the privileged queue. Representative, did you have any? Go ahead. Did you have another?
I thought I was in the line.
Yes, I recognize you from the privileged queue.
When I hit my button, I think it changed. It didn't.
Further discussion, Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question to the representative from Canby in Oregon City.
A question to the representative from Canby. Does the representative from Canby yield to a question?
He does.
He does.
To the good representative from Canby in Oregon City areas, as a minority leader in line 9 of the bill, can you please define related administrative costs?
Okay, now that I have a bill in front of me, would you please restate the question?
Yes, in line 9 of the bill, can you please define related administrative costs?
They would be dispatch, administration, secretarial, all of the various costs related to the administrative positions of the state police.
Further questions to the carrier?
Of the carrier?
I'm sorry, representative from Canby in Oregon.
Do you yield to an additional question?
Yes.
He does.
Do you have any sense of how much related administrative costs might be?
I think that if you add 140 troopers, there would be $13 million in dispatch costs. And I'm not absolutely positive on the rest of them, but relatively small in comparison to the dispatch.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask a question to the representative from Central Lane and Linn counties.
Question of the representative from Central Lane County. Do you yield to question? He does.
Was there any discussion in committee about related administrative costs and how much they might be when this bill got a hearing just 9 days ago?
This bill was heard along with several other bills related to funding for state police. The issue of the issue of administrative costs was not raised because our hearing was on a larger level issue that involved all of the different ways in which we might fund the state police. So we didn't get to that level of detail.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I move House Bill 3535 be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Shields moves that House Bill 3535 be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. To your motion.
Mr. Speaker, this bill hasn't been vetted. It was introduced late in the session on March 29th and just had a hearing on April 16th, just 9 days ago.
State your point.
Thank you. I'm wondering if it is appropriate to make a motion after you've asked questions, or must you make your motions when you first are recognized to speak?
Senators. Yes, it is in order to make a motion after you raise questions. The questions can often be used to determine if you wish to make the motion. Making the motion comes under the same priority as speaking to the bill. You cannot, however, proceed to make a motion after you have spoken to the bill.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, this bill hasn't been vetted. It was introduced late in the session on March 29th. And just had a hearing on April 16th, just 9 days ago. So I say to you this, as chair of the Public Safety Subcommittee of Ways and Means, colleagues, to pass this bill now from the House floor without proper vetting would be incredibly fiscally irresponsible and hurt public safety. This bill hasn't been vetted. And you would think that a bill that's only 15 lines, there would be some clarity on a clause like that, a clause that will affect other budgets. The best place to work out the details of this bill is in the Budget Committee, because if we get this wrong, it will affect investment and other crucial public safety needs, like officer training, crime victim services, help for survivors of domestic violence, prison and jail beds that lock away predatory sex offenders, and funds to prosecute the state's most violent criminals. This bill hasn't been vetted. It needs some work, and I urge your aye vote on the motion to refer House Bill 3535 to the Joint Committee of Ways and Means.
Further discussion, and this is to the motion, and it is in order to speak to why the bill should or should not be returned to committee, but not to the pros and cons of the bill itself. Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the motion.
To the motion.
I rise in support of referring House Bill 3535 to Ways and Means. This issue is so important that I feel it deserves full consideration of all funding options. We owe our public safety officers that consideration. Looking at me today, it may be difficult for many of you to believe that I was once a reserve police officer, but it is true. With this factoid in my history, I'm a strong supporter of adequate funding for OSP Patrol Division, and I fully appreciate the critical nature of our need to enhance the number of troopers on the road, especially in rural districts. That's why I want the methodology to accomplish the increase to be fully vetted in Ways and Means. And that's why I signed on to support House Bill 3535. Frankly, I'm not too particular about where the revenue comes from. I just want to help provide 24-hour coverage. I've ridden with our troopers, and I know how difficult it is to cover their assigned territory. I also know what hours that no one is on patrol in my district, but I'm not sharing that information. Please, let's give this issue a full and complete review in Ways and Means, and finally restore OSP to 24-hour coverage.
Further discussion of the motion to refer to Committee on Ways and Means, Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the motion.
To the motion.
It was enlightening for all of us to learn from the good representative from Hillsboro that this bill relates to dedicated funding that would become effective July 1st of this year for the next biennium. Our discussion about budgeting and about funding, of course, dealt with the fact that we've got $2.5 billion of additional revenue from which to fund State Police Patrol Division this biennium. But this bill, as the good representative from Hillsborough brought out, isn't dealing with those issues. This has no referral to Ways and Means. You go to Ways and Means when there's an issue about funding that is before the body. But as the good representative from Hillsborough clarified for all of us, this bill is about future funding in future legislatures. What this is all about is creating the Oregon State Police Patrol Division Fund, which would become law as of July 1st of this year and would affect the next legislative session. So it would be absolutely irrelevant, immaterial, and ridiculous to send a bill that has no fiscal impact on the current legislature to Ways and Means. What are they going to deal with when we've already been coached and explained by an LC letter that this bill does not affect funding this term at all? And so, due to that clarification, it would be inappropriate, Mr. Speaker, for this bill to go to Ways and Means when Elsie has clarified for us that there's no issue in this bill relating to funding for the next biennium. And so I would respectfully request that the good representative who made the motion would withdraw that motion, since it has no place in Ways and Means, since there's no fiscal on this bill.
Further discussion of the motion to refer to the Committee on Ways and Means, Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Or Mr. Speaker, request use of visual aid.
I know you're speaking to the motion.
To the motion.
To the motion, and Representative Esquivel asks for unanimous consent to use a visual aid. Is there an objection? Hearing none, please go ahead.
I hold in my hand, folks, that you're dedicating funding, but there's a key word at the bottom. It's now. Not later. We don't want to send this thing to Ways and Means. It's not necessary. I, for one, will support the state police. I will do that at any time and any place. This is the time to do it, and this is the place. We can talk the talk, or we can walk the walk. I'm going to walk the walk. Thank you.
Further debate or discussion of the motion to refer, Representative Fetcher.
Thank you. To the motion?
To the motion.
The state police worked with the drafters of this bill. They're well aware of what the administrative costs are and what is needed to support 140 additional troopers. Ways and Means would simply be asking them these same questions that have already been answered in this bill. It's a very simple bill. There's not a whole lot to it. We'd just be setting up a circular argument just to send it to Ways and Means to have the same questions that have been already been answered in this bill, to send it back over here to have this discussion all over again. Let's just do the right thing. Vote on it now. Let's rescind this order to send it to, or this motion to send it to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Further discussion of the motion to refer, Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier of the motion, please.
Does the maker of the motion yield to a question?
The maker yields.
He does.
Thank you, maker, for yielding. I can't remember the exact day, but I believe there was a motion on this floor to bring this bill out of the committee to the House floor on Thursday, and I'd just like to ask you what your vote was on that motion.
I believe my vote was aye.
Can you explain to me why you were voting aye?
Additional question.
Additional
of the
question,
maker of the motion.
Please.
Do you yield?
I do, yes.
He does.
Can you explain to me why you were voting aye then to bring it to the House floor for this debate, and now you're making a motion to send it back to a committee.
Yes, I voted aye because in deference to the minority party on this issue, I felt like I was open to listening to the concerns and bringing that forward. I've weighed those, and for the reasons similar to what I mentioned when I talked about that clause that many people weren't even aware was in the bill and could not define, I weighed the merits, and I feel that Ways and Means, the Budget Committee, where we look at prisons, jails, crime victim services, domestic violence services, all those important aspects of public safety, that is the best place for those details to be worked out.
Follow-up, if I may?
Additional question, do you yield?
Maker yields.
He does.
So as the chair of the Public Safety Ways and Means, this will be on our agenda?
That decision of where the bill will go will be up to the co-chairs.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
You're seeking a clarification. Do you yield?
I do.
He does.
I didn't hear the last part of your answer.
The Ways and Means process, bills don't get referred to committee directly. They go to the Ways and Means, and then they determine where they go. If the bill does get to public safety, it will be discussed.
One more question.
Additional question. Do you yield?
As the chair of public safety...
Do you yield?
I do.
He does.
As the chair of Public Safety Ways and Means, then would you sign on to a letter requesting from the co-chairs to allow us to have a hearing on this bill in the subcommittee?
I can't commit to that at this time.
Thank you. Thank you for the questions. To the bill, or to the motion?
To the motion.
Colleagues, I rise today, I guess maybe in a little bit of disgust about the pure politics of what we're doing here. A unanimous vote on a bill that you all had a chance at that time to stop voting, to bring that bill to this floor for an honest debate. Today we had that opportunity, except it's being cut short by pure politics.
Yes. Okay. Your final comment does, in fact, cross the line into impugning the motives of another member's vote or argument, and I know you're completed now, but I do want to remind folks that is the standard in our rules, and that on this particular type of motion, you can only speak to the reasons why it should go or not go to committee. Further discussion of the motion, Representative Olson.
Mr. Speaker and colleagues, Mr. Speaker, you'll be proud of me. I've prepared, and this time I won't have to.
Very good.
So,
to the motion.
Yes. To the motion, okay. Please. Colleagues, we in this chamber, lawmakers, we cannot afford to wait any longer. Oregonians cannot afford to wait any longer. We are now at the 108th day of the session. The state has seen 121 people die on roads and highways throughout the state today. Do you know what it is like to investigate a fatal crash and go out and look and think, maybe if I'd been out there and had been there as a presence, I could have prevented what occurred? Been lots of crashes. Matter of fact, when I was down out of the Klamath Falls office, 1985, we had 50 crashes in that county. 50 fatalities, I meant to say. We know the cost. We know what it does, what the money is going to be used for. By opposing the motion and moving the bill forward for a vote now, we are showing the public that we are serious in putting the state police as a priority, and that we care about the safety of our motoring public, that we care about the safety of the troopers on the road. House Bill 3535 can't be any more transparent. There is no need for a motion. And I urge you to vote no against this motion.
Further debate of the motion to refer to committee, Representative Lim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill, no, I'm sorry, to the motion.
To the motion.
Yes. We all, each member of this body, voted unanimously to bring this back from the Ways and Means to the floor. That means we are in business. And as a matter of fact, as a member of this august body, I was surprised that every member of this body that voted to bring this back to this floor to vote on it. And then we are talking about taking this back to the Ways and Means. Where are we? We are talking about the integrity of this body and the trust, and it seems to me we do not know which directions we are going. I consider this a pure politics. We can do better. And I'm somewhat discouraged and disgusted the way we are running this business. And we should, if you voted yes to bring this one back, I don't think you can vote yes to bring this back to the Ways and Means. So that's my point, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion of the motion, Representative Krummel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question of the carrier of the motion.
Question of the motion maker. Do you yield?
I was waiting for this. Yes, I do.
he does yield.
And I'm sorry I didn't ask you sooner. But I was under instructions not to get in the queue by the chief clerk. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You know, we got to lighten a moment here. Okay, question of the carrier. The carrier has yielded. Are we correct there, Mr. Speaker?
Please proceed with your question.
Thank you.
I must say, however, that it is getting rather late, and I would like to get some lunch, so I would be happy to yield to a couple of questions.
Yeah, there was time earlier. Right? Pretty good. LC has stated earlier that there's no fiscal on this on this bill. So why do you want to? Why have you made the motion to move this bill to Ways and Means?
Thank you for that question, good representative from Wilsonville. I think in this process, the co-chair, the good representative from Southwest Portland, has been providing more information, particularly to the minority party, than has happened in a very long time. And in some of that information that you all have had access to, if you look at the Oregon State Police, the policy option packages, let me just read you a couple of them. Oregon State Police, admin, essential infrastructure, admin, OWIN, admin, training and sworn applicant processing, admin, infrastructure, admin, training and sworn applicant processing, admin, infrastructure. I think that the fact that this bill has so many unanswered questions, and it only had a cursory hearing in one committee, revenue, it hasn't never, and I want to clarify, it's never been to Ways and Means. That bill could affect how we do public safety in this state. It could mean prisons, jails, crime victim services, domestic violence services, all those things could be affected by the unintended consequences of this bill, and that's why I think it should go to Ways and Means.
Further question.
Further question to you?
I do.
He does.
I believe it states in the bill that it takes effect July 1, 2007. That's into the next biennium. But the testimony that we heard earlier, the comments that we heard earlier, was that this would not have an effect until the 09-11 biennium. So therefore, this bill is a policy bill. It has no fiscal impact. Why should this bill go to Ways and Means? This has nothing to do with anything except the patrol division.
Thank you, good representative. I wanted to clarify that when we say this bill has no fiscal impact, LFO's analysis actually indicates the fiscal impact to be indeterminate. And while LC indicates the bill will have none in this biennium, that is only if we adjourn prior to July 1st.
Mr. Speaker, further question?
Further question, do you yield?
Mr. Speaker, I think we've had enough debate on this, and we've got to get to committee, so I'm going to have to decline.
Question is declined.
Colleagues, I'm going to the motion then.
To the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to suggest that sending this bill to Ways and Means at this particular point in time is an inappropriate motion to have been made. First of all, the debate on the bill itself wasn't finished because there were other people in the queue. The second thing is that by moving this bill to Ways and Means, it's an inappropriate motion because there is no fiscal for this upcoming biennium. That's been alluded to by earlier comments. So there is no fiscal. The fiscal is indeterminate, as stated by the representative from Northeast Portland. It is. There is no fiscal at this particular point in time, and a bill that does not have a fiscal doesn't belong in the Ways and Means Committee. This is a policy bill. It is not a budget bill, and it should not go to Ways and Means, as has been suggested by the carrier or the maker of the motion. I would suggest that what we really need to do is decide as a policy, do we want to take 1% of our general fund and put it into the patrol division of the Oregon State Police? I think people, the voters, have told us where their priorities are, and it's in public safety. They've done that when they voted for Measure 11. The only problem is that too many times their elected officials are too dense to figure out when the people have decided what they think is their priorities. It's our responsibility as elected officials to respond to what the public tells us is their
representative. It's been pointed out you cannot. I didn't hear the words myself. So, but did you? If you refer to other lawmakers, you cannot refer to them as being dense or other such adjectives. And please do keep your comments to the motion to refer to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I would suggest that the motion to move this bill to Ways and Means is inappropriate at this time. It is going to be best if we can vote this bill up or down, and now is the time to do it. I would say to the majority side, if you don't like the bill, then just vote it down. Don't play the charade of sending it to a committee where it's inappropriate for it to go. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion of the motion, Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the maker.
Question of the motion maker. Do you yield?
Motion maker yields.
He does.
I always pictured the maker differently. You? To the motion.
Was that the question?
That was my question.
Would the motion maker like to respond to that question?
I would love to respond to that question. But I don't think now is the appropriate place.
Agreed. To the motion.
To the motion.
There are two reasons why this motion should not be adopted. The first is if we have more debate, I will be spared more torture from the chairman from the Emerald Empire in consumer protection. The second is that the hour is late, and I'm not talking about the hour today. I'm talking about the hour in our session. So I believe that vetting and discussion and hearing and going through the Ways and Means process may be important. I think we're beyond that. I want to again appeal to the fact that we should not support this motion, but debate and vote on this motion today, because it's important to pick our priority, and I believe that we have. The governor set the stage, and I think everybody in this room believes it is, if it's not your number one, it's your number two or number three. With the exception of a bill that we heard in Human Resources and Women's Wellness about the poorest of the poor who need a safety net, that's my exception. With the exception of that bill, I don't have a higher priority. We need not to send this to Ways and Means. We need to talk about it. And if at all possible, we need to all unhook our other budget items, our other issues, and say, let's do number one with money that we have, and let's do it today. We linked everything but the kitchen sink to troopers today. And I know there are issues and baggage and lots of things going on way before I got here. But I think we need to discuss this and vote on it today. I can't think of a higher priority. When the representative from Clackamas County showed his chart, I may have been offended by the numbers, and it may not have been appropriate, but I actually did not object to the graphics. I thought the elephant was frumpy but cute, and I thought maybe the donkey was a bit disco. But we need to keep talking about this and see if we can't unhook ourselves from all the other issues that are bugging us about the budget. It's very complicated, and it's doubly complicated for a financial genius as myself and a rookie on this floor. But can't we, on number one, agree to fund this out of money that we all know we have, and then let's let the debate ensue on priorities 2, 3, 4, and 5. Let's don't send this back for more vetting. Vetting, schmetting. Let's talk about it, let's vote on it, and let's make it a priority. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion of the motion, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question of the House co-chair, the good representative from Southwest Portland.
Question of the good representative from Southwest Portland. Co-chair, would you yield to a question?
Yes.
She does.
Thank you. We have heard from the chair of the Public Safety Subcommittee that he would not be willing to commit to a letter of support to bring this bill immediately to committee. I'm wondering, as the co-chair of this body, would you be willing to make an immediate assignment and priority of this bill to the Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee?
Thank you for the question, Representative. I'll remind you that my title is co-chair. I don't get to assign bills on my own. I work in collaboration with the Senate co-chair, and this would be a decision we would make together.
Thank you. Clarification?
A clarification. Do you yield?
Sure.
She does.
If I misspoke, co-chair, I had it written as co-chair, so I apologize for that. I thought I had it right. Is it your belief, then, that in your work with the co-chair, you would be able to immediately assign this bill as a priority to the Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee?
Thanks for that clarification. I don't know.
Thank you. To the motion.
To the motion.
Colleagues, we've heard a lot about this, and the time is running short, and as a previous speaker mentioned, not just today. I got more numbers and details to the state police budget, I'm sure,
I'm sure, than any of you would like to hear. But if you do want to hear the truth on those numbers, please come and see me. This motion and moving this motion off the floor and not allowing this vote to happen when every single person in this chamber voted to bring it here is simply an avoidance of what should happen today. Please consider that and vote no on this motion.
Further discussion of the motion, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues.
To the motion.
Colleagues, this is not about policy, procedure. This motion is about sending this bill to Ways and Means and letting it die. The representative that is the chair of public safety won't commit. The co-chair won't commit. Have the guts to vote for the bill. It's not dollars. Doesn't affect this. I urge you to vote yes.
State your point of privilege, Representative Buckley.
Impugning the motives, the thoughts of people who might think this motion is a good idea is unacceptable, and I would ask the minority leader to please assist him to cease.
I will read to you a section of the rules. It says, in speaking, the member must confine discussion of the question under debate, avoid personalities, and not impugn the motives of another member's vote or argument. Referring to the guts of other members as a basis of how they vote is, in fact, outside of this rule. Please go ahead and proceed with your debate, but please do not impugn other members and keep your comments to the motion to refer.
Thanks for helping me out, Mr. Speaker. The completion of my talk would be that we should vote no on this motion and that we should take the heads-up vote directly on the bill and move it forward.
Further discussion? Seeing none, would the motion maker like to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before I close, I'd like to address a couple of the comments that I've heard so far. A willingness to debate, does not mean you've won the day. I voted to bring this to the floor to hear the arguments, to see what type of vetting has actually happened on this bill. And I think I pointed out very clearly that that vetting hasn't happened. This bill has not been to Ways and Means before. It's had a cursory hearing in Revenue. And I believe the voters clearly sent a message in the last election about who can best protect public safety. And I say to you, it would be incredibly fiscally irresponsible and hurt public safety to pass this bill without the proper vetting. It will hurt public safety. The ambiguity in the bill will
Representative Menace, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, I take great umbrage to the comments of my colleague here. Assigning who believes in public safety by an outcome of a general election, but somehow that we have failed Oregonians is an insult to me and to this caucus. And I take great exception to your assertion.
Stand at ease. Representative, a member must confine discussion of the question or debate and not impugn the motives of another member. Your comments
are right on the edge of interpreting what the voters did last time, and while you didn't speak to any individual member, please confine your remarks to the motion to refer, and please make sure to avoid impugning the motives of any other member.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The intention of my remarks were to be in response to another speaker who mentioned what the voters had said. No budget bill has passed this floor without being vetted by Ways and Means. I think it would be fiscally irresponsible to move forward with this, and I urge your aye vote on the motion to refer House Bill 3535 to Joint Committee on Ways and Means. And, Mr. Speaker, I respectfully request call of the House.
Representative Shields requests a call of the House. He is joined by Representative Dalem, Representative Olson, Representative Edwards, Representative Greenlick, and Representative Riley. The doorkeepers will bar the doors. Sergeant Arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker, Barnhart, Berger, Beyer, Beyer Bonamici, Boone, Boone Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Burley Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Cannon Clem, Cowan, Dalem, Dingfelder, Dingfelder Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Gerard, Gilzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Holvey Hunt, Jensen, Jensen Comp, Kotek, Kotek Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, McPherson Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nathanson Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Tomei Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Beyer, Boone, Burley, Cannon, Dingfelder, Jensen, Kotek, McPherson, Nathanson, Tomei.
All members are present. House will come to order. All members are present. Those are the opinion that House Bill 35. Representative Scott, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request an alphabetical roll call vote.
Senators. Colleagues, can I have your attention? Representative Scott has made a motion to have a request to have an oral roll call. He needs to be joined by five members of the House. Obviously, we have five members, but for the record, keep your hands up for just a moment. We have Representative Dalum. We have Representative Krieger. We have Representative Scott Bruin. We have Representative Andy Olson, and we have Representative Brian Boquist. According to House rule, this is reverse alphabetical order.
The House rule say it flips every time.
House will stand at ease. House will come to order. The following vote will be in reverse alphabetical order. Those of the opinion that House Bill 3535 should be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will call the roll. Witt.
Aye.
Wisnant. Tomei.
Aye.
Thatcher. Patty Smith. Greg Smith. Shields.
Aye.
Scott. Schaffler.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Roblin.
Aye.
Riley.
Aye.
Richardson. Reed.
Aye.
Reed. Olson.
No.
Nolan. Nelson. Nathanson. Morgan. Minnis. Maurer.
No.
McPherson.
No.
Lim.
No.
Crummel.
No.
Krieger.
No.
Kotek.
No.
Comp.
No.
Jensen. Jensen.
We need a voice vote. No. Thank you.
Hunt. Holvey. Hannah.
No.
Greenwick.
Yes.
Sherrod.
No.
Gilman.
No.
Gilliam.
No.
Gelzer.
No.
Garrard.
No.
Galizio.
No.
Flores.
No.
Esquivel. David Edwards.
Aye.
Chris Edwards.
Yes.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Dallum.
No.
Cowan.
Yes.
Clem.
Aye.
Cannon.
Aye.
Cameron.
No.
Butler.
No.
Burley.
No.
Buckley.
Aye.
Bruin.
No.
Boquist.
No.
Boone. Bonamici. Beyer. Berger. Barnhart. Barker. Mr. Speaker. Voting no. Boquist, Bruin, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Dallum, Esquivel, Flores, Garrard, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Hannah, Jensen, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nelson, Olson, Richardson, Scott, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Wisnant.
And you missed Berger.
Excuse me. Berger, how do you vote? And voting no, Berger. The vote is 31 to 29. The motion having received the required majority is declared adopted. House Bill 3535 is referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
The chair requests unanimous consent that the memorials and resolutions... Oh, final reading, memorials and resolutions. The chair requests unanimous consent that the memorials and resolutions remaining on today's calendar be carried over to their proper place on tomorrow's calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Is Gelster in the queue?
Representative Gelster, for what purpose do you rise?
Request permission to return to the order of courtesies.
Representative Gelser requests unanimous consent to return to the order of courtesies. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I hope you will join me in welcoming some of our great partners in local government from the City of Corvallis, City Councilor Stuart Warshow, Mayor Charlie Tomlinson, and City Manager John Nelson. Thank you, and welcome to the Capitol today. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further courtesies? Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 331 relating to organized retail theft. Senate Bill 336 relating to school facility planning. Senate Bill 722 relating to land use planning with Metropolitan Service District. Senate Bill 720 relating to vision requirements for driving privileges. Senate Bill 746 relating to exempt operating cemeteries. Senate Bill 751 relating to podiatric physician and surgeon member of Board of Medical Examiners. Senate Bill 894 relating to Universal Service Fund.
Bills read first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for a referral. Second reading of Senate bills. Third reading of Senate bills. Chair requests unanimous consent that the bills remaining on today's calendar be carried over to their proper place on tomorrow's calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The Committee on Revenue will meet promptly at 2:40. I want to discuss with the committee. We may get part of our agenda done, but I want to discuss with the committee a potential evening meeting. Thank you.
Representative, further announcements, Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The House Committee on Consumer Protection will take a little breather and meet at 6 p.m.
Further announcements? Remonstrances? Representative Hanna?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would hope, colleagues, much like we would not poke fun at or make fun of someone whose hair was different than ours or someone who dressed different than we did, when being addressed the question, we would also not make fun of the analytical nature of a member. And I think we should be cautious of that, both from the podium and as members receiving questions. Thank you.
Further remonstrances, Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I know it's been a long day, but I would appreciate your indulgence for just a moment more. I'm sad to rise again for the purpose of acknowledging another one of our servicemen who have fallen in the Iraq War. This is the third soldier from my district to die in Iraq since the beginning of this session. Mike Vaughn from Otis, a paratrooper with the 82nd Airborne Division, was killed Monday by a suicide truck bomber. Mike was a 2004 graduate of Taft High School, where he excelled in wrestling. He won the district championship in his junior year, and he also enjoyed riding motorcycles. Mike was 20 years old and is survived by his father, George Vaughn, a Gulf War veteran, and grandfather, Bill Vaughn, who was a Korean War veteran. There will be a candlelight vigil Thursday evening at Dee River Wayside in Lincoln City, and we'll see what the memorial service's schedule is a bit later. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remonstrances, Representative Krummel.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I'm extremely concerned about one of the things that is going on in this building, and that is the work of our agencies, and one of the things that they do is go around and not work with sponsors of legislation and instead decide that they're going to take it upon themselves to actively lobby against any particular legislation that they don't happen to like. Quite frankly, Madam Speaker, this sucks. And I think this has got to stop. The job of the agency should be to help the legislative branch in terms of helping the legislators understand what sorts of challenges they face. And when there's a concern about a bill, they should be coming to the sponsors and going to the committees and saying, these are the things that we have concerns about, and these are the things that we think could make this bill better. Or maybe there is no salvaging it. But if it's something that we're asking them to do that is completely out of line, then they should go to the sponsors and talk to them about it. Now, I had the agency director, Bruce Goldberg of DHS, in my office on Monday, and he and I were having this exact same conversation about some actions that Child Protective Services was taking. Then it turns around that they pulled the same stunt again. And now we have the same stunt in DHS being occurring again, but this time it's the mental health division. Madam Speaker, I think the Speaker of the House and the Senate President ought to let the agency heads know that this is absolutely unacceptable, and if they're not going to handle it, then by God, we ought to. Maybe we need to get a bill in that says the agencies can't have a lobbyist. Because this type of action by the agencies is directly putting the legislative branch at a disadvantage for any kind of management that we may want to do as far as the state agencies are concerned. And if that's the case, we might as well sign it down tomorrow and go home.
Further remonstrances, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I was going to speak earlier, but things changed and I didn't. And so I just wanted to say this at this point, after what we've been through today has been almost like the end of June, usually, and I hope that we can all get our issues together, get our friends separated from our enemies, and I would hope we have no enemies among ourselves. I love you all. I try hard to work with everybody here, and I try really hard to represent my district the best I can, as I know you all do, too. And you may not, I mean, I won't go into my whole thing, and you won't get the numbers going because the math gene was beaten out of me in the eighth grade. But I do know that there is a certain amount of money in the co-chair's budget for state police, for troopers. We need a little bit more to get to the number we all want to get to, and we all think we need, and we've all been told we need. And I have to say, I do more than ride-alongs. I have done a couple of ride-alongs, but I actually work side by side with the troopers in my district on fire calls, which in that vernacular, on what I'm talking about, are high-speed highway crashes. These are the people who come day or night, and we sometimes have to wait a while for them, and that's the problem here. But they're out there. I have one couple in my district, a married couple. They're both troopers. They're both road troopers. They have a 6 or 7 year old son, their only child. They're out there, not together, separately, but doing the same thing. So think of the danger that that family is in that sense. I don't have to sell anybody on the need for more troopers. I know that. We're all wanting the same thing. So I'm just hoping that we can get to where we need to get the troopers funded, and get this job done for these people. Thanks for indulging me.
Further remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Minnis. 10:30 a.m. Thursday, April 26, 2007.
Madam Speaker, I move we adjourn till 10:30 a.m. Thursday, April 26.
Representative Minnis moves the House adjourn until 10:30 a.m. Thursday, April 26, 2007. Without objection, the House is adjourned.